God's work for your children. Last week we discussed that which should be taught to our children, and perhaps we should follow it up by going through God's Word and seeing what will be expected of the children of this generation and the next. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is Paul's letter to Timothy. In verse 1 he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come," and then he describes a terrible time that would come upon the earth in the last days. But then he says of Timothy in verse 14 and 15, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." This verifies, to some extent, what we read in the Bible last week, that if you teach a child out of the law and the prophets, especially those things that happened at Mount Horeb or at Sinai, they will be believers on the Lord Jesus Christ when they grow into adults. Samuel Adams, one of the Christian founders of America, wrote in 1790, "Let divines and philosophers the age," and here's how they were to renovate the age: "by impressing the minds of men with the importance of educating their little boys and girls, of inculcating in the minds of youth the fear and love of the deity and universal philanthropy, and in subordination to these great principles, the love of their country, of instructing them in the art of self-government, without which they can never act a wise part in the government of society, great or small. In short, of leading them in the study and practice of the exalted virtues of the Christian system." Samuel Adams said, in no uncertain terms, the way to renovate the age, the way to change the entire society of the earth, is to teach your children the fear and love of the deity. That's not what we're told today, is it? Our entire educational system in America is predicated on not allowing our children to learn of God Almighty and His Word. Well, the age obviously is not being renovated. Also, Daniel Webster said this at the end of a speech he gave in 1820 at the dedication of the statue at Plymouth Colony, or in honor of the pilgrims at Plymouth. "Lastly, our ancestors established their system of government on morality and religious sentiment. Moral habits, they believed, cannot safely be trusted on any other foundation than religious principles, nor any government be secure which is not supported by moral habits. Living under the heavenly light of revelation, they hope to find all the social dispositions, all the duties which men owe to each other and to society, enforced and performed. Whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens." So here are two great men of ages past, the founders of this great Christian republic, who said that if we make Christian people out of our young people, we'll have good citizens, and Samuel Adams said it would lead to the renovation of the age. Now, last week we saw, as these men saw, the teaching of God's law, the teaching of the prophets, in other words, His Word, would raise a generation of young people who were believers in their Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now have a generation or two generations living in America who simply have not been taught the things of the law and the prophets, and they are not renovating the age. In the very last verses of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, here is a prophecy which apparently must come to pass in order to renovate the age or bring in the kingdom. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And here's what Elijah would do. "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In other words, if the hearts of the children were not turned to their fathers, God would come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, now, how do we turn the hearts of the children to the fathers except to teach them what happened to the fathers in Israel in the law and the prophets, and, of course, in the New Testament, speaking of the men who came at the time of Christ and after? This must be done, or as the last words of the Old Testament say, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That means that parents and grandparents, as we saw last week, have the very definite responsibility of teaching the children about the fathers, teaching God's word, and God will use them, I believe, as Samuel Adams apparently believed, to renovate the age. How about that? Our children may be the generation that will renovate the age and see the bringing in of the kingdom. All right, let's turn back to Isaiah. I'm going to go just through the prophets here in the biblical order and read a few verses here and there to give us a glimpse of the glorious things in which our children and our grandchildren will probably participate, the responsibility they will have as this age draws to a close and the kingdom age comes upon us. Turn to Isaiah 29. Most of you are familiar with these verses and the context, so I can read a portion of it, and you can understand the situation. Isaiah 29, starting in verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. This is the raising up of the righteous, the destruction of the wicked, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Therefore thus saith the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not now be ashamed, neither shall his face now wax pale, but when he seeth his children, the work of mine hands, in the midst of him, they shall sanctify my name, and sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and shall fear the God of Israel. When Jacob, or the descendants of Jacob, see the children, the work of God's hands in their midst, they will glorify God. And I believe that that may be fulfilled by the raising up of a righteous generation of young people who know and believe God, and when the older people see what is happening, they will turn and praise God Almighty. Have you ever thought of what damage is done to our society today by the attitude of the old people who say all the younger generation's all gone to pot? That attitude has deliberately been built into the minds of the old people by the Antichrist in America. There are millions upon millions of young people in America who are good young people whose minds and hearts, I believe, are being prepared to hear the word of the Lord. But be careful about downgrading these young people. The young people of today are living in the midst of temptations that you and I never heard of. If they actually succumbed to the things around them, they would be the worst people upon the earth, and they're not. And here God speaks of a time when Israel will see their children in the midst of them, God's work, the work of God's hand, and they'll sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and shall fear the God of Israel. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. The visible evidence of young people in the land of Israel who know God will help correct older people and other people in their error in doctrine. Isaiah 30. This is another one of those chapters that goes all the way from the rebuke of Israel in sin and iniquity to the glorious promise of deliverance. He goes on and condemns them for not believing his word. And then in verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment, blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more, he will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And O the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Now, where do we expect God Almighty to raise up those teachers who will continually be telling Israel what to do according to God's word if they're not going to be the young people raised up in Christian homes, and especially in Christian identity homes in America? In other words, these young people would be people raised up as teachers who would be like what? Well, they would be like Timothy, whom Paul wrote to. They would be like the young people that Samuel Adams visualized, who were taught in the fear and knowledge of God Almighty. Isaiah, of course, continues in his prophecies all the way through this. Let's go over to Isaiah 60, the prophecy about the building of Zion. "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." That this is Zion, we read in verse 14, in the last part of it, "And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations." We believe this is the renovating of God's Israel nation here in America after we have been through our chastisement and our tribulation and the possible troubles that we have had. And then verse 21, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified." He continues in the next chapter and says of these people in Zion, in verse 4, "And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations." Now, some of you may or may not know, and I know the news media covers this up to some extent, that the center part of some of America's major cities are literally becoming desolate. I understand that the Federal Housing Administration has had to take title to tens and tens of thousands of apartments and homes in the center parts of such cities as Columbus and Pittsburgh, and they tell me that there are blocks and blocks in the city of Brooklyn and New York where the police do not even dare to enter anymore. They've given up on it because of the drug addicts and the crime and the criminality of these Negro areas. They have given up trying to hold these people. In some parts of Milwaukee, in some parts of some of the other cities in the East, they have had to tear down thousands upon thousands of buildings because the criminals who lived there would not allow the owners to collect rent, because they would rob the owners when they came around, and then eventually, as the owners gave up, they tore off the toilets, the plumbing, the electrical wiring, and all of these things, and these were sold, and eventually the buildings had to be destroyed as fire hazards. This is happening in America. I am afraid that it will happen perhaps to a greater extent, because God says in the prophecies here that these people in Zion, when he redeems us back to himself and rebuilds Zion, they're going to have to repair the waste cities. Do you think that our children and our grandchildren will lack things to do in the renovation of the age? No, my friends, they're going to have more to do, I believe, than we had ever dreamed of. In verse 5, "And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." This generation coming up is going to have to be preachers and ministers and priests to preach God's word to a renovated Zion to build the kingdom. Now, we sometimes have the mistaken idea, and I know the fundamentalists tend to give us this because of their doctrine about the rapture and the Christian going to go away, and then they're going to come back, and then Christ is going to end all wickedness, and they almost snap their fingers when they say it, as if this is all going to change in the twinkling of an eye. No, the Bible does not teach us that the kingdom will come in the twinkling of an eye. In fact, verse 11 of Isaiah 61 says, "For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so, or in that manner, the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations." I believe, very sincerely, we are going to see a revival in America that will surpass the revivals of ages past, and I believe our children and our grandchildren will have a hand in it. I believe that they will be the preachers, the carriers of God's word, the teachers, literally the renovators of the age. I do not think that Samuel Adams was being unscriptural when he believed that young people taught in the Lord would actually be responsible for renovating the age. These men back at the time of the founding of the colonies and the founding of America did not believe the false doctrine that the kingdom will come in the twinkling of an eye. They saw and understood and preached their responsibility to teach their children to build the kingdom, to build the kingdom of God on earth. And we've lost sight of that. We sometimes think, well, all we have to do is sit here and talk about the kingdom, and someday, out of a clear blue sky, Christ is going to come, and the kingdom will be there. No, he talks about building the old waste, raising up the former desolations, repairing the waste cities. That's the way the kingdom is going to come, by the renovation of the age, and of course the destruction of the wicked will have to come with it. And Jeremiah talks of that. Turn to the 30th chapter of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30, starting in verse 7. "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him." We believe that's the breaking of the yoke of Mystery Babylon, the world debt money oppressive system. Verse 9, "But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, who I will raise up unto them." Now these people are going to be the ones who will be alive, even if we aren't, when that yoke is broken. And these are the things they should be taught. Verse 17, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap." In other words, the new city of Zion is going to be built on the destruction of the old order, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. This sounds to me like God is going to restore Zion by putting men in official capacity in the government of that Zion. Nobles and governors and princes and elders and rulers. Where are they going to come? They're going to come from the children and grandchildren that you parents teach God's word and prepare for the kingdom. I think we have not seen, perhaps, the necessity of preparing our children for the kingdom. We discussed earlier the damage that is done to young people by this preaching that Christ is going to come next week and take them off to heaven. Young people who believe this prepare themselves for nothing here on the earth, and yet according to my Bible, the work of our children and grandchildren is going to be here on the earth, rebuilding the nations of the earth. There will be enough for them to do in this end of the age. When will this happen? Verse 24, the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Is it possible? It's about time we were considering the training of our children and grandchildren to be rulers and governors and nobles in the kingdom of God on the earth. You know, we spend so little time training men to be our civil leaders today that we get what we have in our state capitals and in Washington, D.C., because men go there who are not taught in the word of the Lord. And why aren't they taught in the word of the Lord? Well, because parents and grandparents did not do what we talked about for 45 minutes last week they're supposed to do. Preach the law and the prophets. You know that several of the prophets speak of the deliverance of God's people out of bondage at the end of the age, as if it is going to be after the manner of Egypt. Well, how are they going to know and recognize our deliverance and partake in it and do what they're supposed to do if they know nothing about the deliverance out of Egypt? And how are they going to learn that? By you, parents and grandparents, taking the responsibility of teaching them. Turn to Jeremiah 50. The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Baal is confounded. In other words, the false religions are broken down. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there shall come up a nation against her, which will make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come. They and the children of Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. In other words, at the very time God is preparing the destruction of Babylon, he is preparing Israel to come and say, Let us join ourselves unto the Lord. He continues with the prophecy of Babylon's destruction. Verse 14, Put yourselves in array against Babylon round about, all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she hath sinned against the Lord. Shout against her round about, she hath given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her, as she hath done, do unto her. God's vengeance and destruction of Babylon will come about when Israel obeys the call to shout against her, fight against her, and launch your arrows against her. Arrows in scripture, symbolism, are used, symbolic of God's word. How many people have we raised up and taught to fight against Babylon? Very few. Praise God, there are some in the country. And how are they going to fight effectively with the arrows, with God's word against the money power, unless we, parents and grandparents, teach them how to launch the attack, the arrows, and the shouting against Babylon? Verse 16, cut off the sower from Babylon, and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest, for fear of the oppressing sword. They shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to his own land. I believe this, like Isaiah 13, is a prophecy that the Antichrist and the heathen in the lands of Israel will actually be driven out and taken away and taken back to their old land. Now, instead of teaching and raising up a generation of God's people in America to be able to carry out the removal of the enemies from our land, instead they're being taught they're to live with, integrate, marry, and work with the enemies of God's people in land. The very opposite of what they're going to be called to do. God's Israel people, our children, and our grandchildren are going to be called to be the instrument in God's hand for the destruction of Babylon. Now let's start teaching them and preaching to them what their job is going to do. Verse 22, a sound of battle is in the land and a great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How is Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory, and hath brought forth the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. God has opened his armory to bring forth the weapons that will destroy Babylon. In the next chapter, I read this, and you should read all of this. Of course, this is a tremendous prophecy that fits the same as Revelation 17 and 18. In chapter 51, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind, and will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her, and shall empty her land. For in the day of trouble they shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy utterly all her host. This is a call for the destruction of Babylon. Who is going to destroy Babylon? Verse 19. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. Who is going to destroy Babylon? God's Israel people. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy kingdoms, and with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. Now notice, he's speaking of everything that has risen up against God Almighty. They're going to be broken with who? With God's Israel people. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith the Lord God. Now, who is going to destroy Babylon? The people who are sitting here teaching their children that all is going to happen is Christ is going to come and set up his kingdom? God says he's going to destroy Babylon by sending an army against her to fight her, and he identifies that army as the children of Israel. Isn't it about time we began to prepare that army who will probably be made up of our children and our grandchildren? I know it would be wonderful, wouldn't it, if we will all live to see the destruction of Babylon and the bringing in of the kingdom. According to the other prophecies of the kingdom of God, even of Daniel, where he said the stone that was cut out grew and filled the whole earth, there is an indication of a time of growing and building. God's kingdom is going to start one place, and from there it is going to grow and fill the whole earth. I don't know whether that's going to happen in a week or a month or in a century. But I would say this, if we don't prepare our children to carry on after us in a greater way than we think we're doing, we're not going to be God's battle axe and God's weapons of war, and our children won't be His battle axe and His weapons of war. Now, God is going to use someone for this, and I would appreciate and pray God that He uses us and our children and our grandchildren. I think that's why Samuel Adams spoke in terms of renovating the age by inculcating in the minds of youth the fear and the love of deity. Samuel Adams didn't see the kingdom sometime before he died. He saw the kingdom coming, and he said, let's teach our children and our children's children and prepare them for the renovating of the age, for the renovating of the earth. And that's why in verse 25 of Jeremiah 50, he says, the Lord had opened His armory and brought forth the weapons of His indignation. Who are they? Those weapons are God's Israel people armed with the sword of the Lord, His holy word. And they will be, I believe, by and large, the generations that follow us. Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 32, as you know, is a very plain teaching of the establishment of the new covenant. Then he goes on in verse 33, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Now, in order for that prophecy to come to pass, there would have to be some desolate and waste and ruined cities in Zion for God's people to rebuild when He establishes them under the new covenant. Let's teach our children. They have work to do in the age to come, even in their lifetime and on. Turn to Daniel 7. I won't read all of these, but verse 21 and 22, Daniel is speaking of the great Antichrist world ruler. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. In other words, power to judge the evil, wicked system was given to God's saints. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. What are they going to have? They're going to have power, the power of judgment over the Antichrist system, and then they will possess the kingdom. Verses 25 through 26 tells the same story. Who will these people be? Well, I pray they're going to be the generations that follow us. If we do not complete the work of building the kingdom, let's leave behind us our sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters to be God's weapons of war. Turn to Amos 9, the last chapter of Amos, the last two verses. And I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities, Why in the world do all of these prophets talk about waste and destroyed cities that have to be rebuilt if we're not going to have waste and destroyed cities to rebuild? Some of us have been told that, well, we're going right on into the kingdom with no trouble. And yet these prophets all talk about when God establishes the kingdom, his people are going to have rebuilding to do, to clear away the rubble of the destruction of the previous civilization and the cities. And they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall be no more plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. A lot of work to do for the people who follow us. Obadiah, the very next prophet, is a one-chapter prophecy of the destruction of Edom. We know Edom as red, or in effect, the world communist conspiracy that is conspiring against God's people, Israel. What does he say about that? Verse 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be wholeness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. Who is going to destroy world communism? God's Israel people. God's Israel people. Turn to Micah chapter 4. Few pages on further in your Bible. Verse 10, be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. I believe that's where we are now. We are in Zion, in captivity to Babylon. Thou shalt go even to Babylon, there shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee, that say, let her be defiled, and let our eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as the sheaves under the floor. The nations which are arrayed against the United States of America, the Zion of Bible prophecy, are going to be gathered by God Almighty as sheaves into the floor. And then who does he tell to do the threshing? Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou, yes, you people of Israel, shall beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Do our young people, our sons and daughters, and grandsons and granddaughters have a job to do for God Almighty in the earth? Brother, sister, they've got a job to do that far surpasses anything we have yet done. Turn to Revelation. Chapter 17, you know the prophecies of the destruction of Babylon. Verse 5, she's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. In verse 18, she's identified as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. She is Antichrist, world system of Babylon that is destroying and controlling all of the world. What does God say to his people about her? 18 verse 4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Now in that verse of scripture, to me, are volumes of what God's people are to do for the destruction of Babylon. No, my friend, we're not going to be just sitting around here doing nothing. We are God's chosen weapons of war to destroy Mystery Babylon, the oppressive money power of the earth. Let's tell our children and our grandchildren what they have to do. Let's close in Isaiah 51. In verse 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." How is that going to be done? Well, at least it implies it's going to be done by God's Israel people using God's word. For he said, verse 16, "And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, Thou art my people." How is God going to bring in the kingdom of God on earth? How is God going to do what Samuel Adams apparently believed was going to be done to renovate the earth and bring Christ's rule to the earth? He's going to do it by using his chosen Israel people. No, we're not going to sit around and twiddle our thumbs and say, I hope that things happen. I hope God destroys Babylon. God has work for us to do that far surpasses anything we've dreamed we have to do. And we are to tell our children and our grandchildren. They have a job and a responsibility before God Almighty such as no other generation has ever had. They have the responsibility of destroying Babylon and building the kingdom of God upon the earth. Let's raise up that generation. Let's preach to them in God's providence. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we pray that you speed this day when Babylon shall be destroyed. And we pray that you will use us for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy work. Help us to be thy battle axe and thy weapons of war. Arm us with thy word. Protect us with thy might. And give us of thy spirit for that work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.